Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'm about to make my decision that I'm staying in L.A. or Houston. I don't know where I'm going to be staying, but you know what? We're going to be live right now. Real Sports Talk Radio live on here every Friday night, especially here on Back Sports Page Radio on blogtalkradio.com. I am Randy Zellia, and if you want to reach the show tonight, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Real Sports Talk Radio, and you can hashtag Real Sports Talk Radio to me at Randy PSP, and we'll take your questions on here. Jose has the night off. Originally, we were thinking about taking this little 4th of July break, but with all the NBA news going on, it's hard for us to stay away, so I am joined by the one and only host of the Seth and Sean show here on Real Sports Talk, here on Back Sports Page Radio. Seth came in. Seth, good evening. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I heard it was an interesting 48 hours.
I heard something happened. It's amazing. Like, we're going to go over some of these moves that have happened with teams over the last 2 weeks since all this has started. And, man, I'll tell you, I went from being, holy crap, the Warriors are really in this, to get Dwight Howard. And from what I got told, he was like, they were the second team that got called, saying, no, thank you, but no thank you. Now, from what I'm understanding, this is not a done deal. Just from what I've been getting from the from some of the insiders who have reached out to me and told me some of the same things that I was hearing, that this isn't a done deal yet. He has not told the Los Angeles Lakers that he's officially leaving them and going to the Houston Rockets. Sam Amick, who covers the NBA, has not officially, you know, he broke the story. It's not a done deal. So right now we're just awaiting. Adrian Wojnarowski hasn't confirmed it yet as well. So we'll see. Man, and the news just keeps on breaking. Dwight Howard, as we're waiting to hear whether it will be Houston or Los Angeles, more news. Seth, I can break this news courtesy of Mark Stein from ESPN. The Mavs are closing on a deal with Jose Calderon, which he's a good player, but he's not a deal breaker. And Ken Berger from CBS Sports has just broken the news that OJ Mayo has agreed to a 3-year, $24 million deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. So,
it kind of pales in comparison to everything else that's happened in the last couple hours. Jose Calderon going to Dallas, he's a nice point guard, but it's not exactly the move. Although Howard said he wanted to play with Calderon. But to be honest, everything that comes out of Dwight Howard's mouth, I think you kind of have to take with a grain of salt to begin with. It's not exactly going to be the move that's going to bring in people. A Dwight Howard or a Josh Smith. It's not the kind of person who's going to bring that in. OJ Mayo going to Milwaukee. Well, I guess if they're paying Redick, if they traded Redick and Redick got a 4-year for got $6.5 million a year, Mayo at $8 million seems to me like a pretty good deal. I'm surprised. I'm kind of surprised by the move. It wasn't a place where I would see an OJ Mayo playing. He struck me as someone who wanted to be more in a big market, more in a hunt for something, because Milwaukee is in an absolute rebuilding mode, assuming they don't re-sign Brandon Jennings. So that move kind of surprises me.
Well, and it's funny, on that same note, sources say the Milwaukee Bucks guard Monte Ellis is getting major interest from the Denver Nuggets. You want to talk about a franchise that needs help right now, it's Denver Nuggets. They lost Andre Iguodala earlier today, and they lost him to less money to go to the Golden State Warriors. That's a great deal for the Golden State Warriors. It gives them another score. You know, they made a trade earlier in the day to send Richard Jefferson to Utah. I'll tell you, it's not the sexy names, but there's a lot of good role players switching homes right now. I think that's the fun part of this NBA. I didn't think last year that the NBA offseason had the sizzle that it has so far this year.
No, it hasn't. The Iguodala deal, to be perfectly honest, was stunning to me. And I'm a bit surprised, as the rumors are, and obviously it can't be confirmed, that Howard's going to go to Houston. Well, to be perfectly honest, with Iguodala, you know, he wanted a team with three stars. Well, if you go to Golden State, you have your three stars. You have Iguodala at the three. You have Stephon Curry. You know, Houston is not going to be able to pick up another star. And I was a person who, on my show, was a firm believer that Houston was the right move for Howard. He wouldn't have to be the number one outlet. They have James Harden, because I don't believe Dwight Howard is the number one scorer on a team that can win a title. But Golden State, I mean, they could have traded a Bogut and Harrison Barnes in a sign-and-trade. Considering they have Draymond Green, they now have Iguodala. I don't think Barnes is a nice player, but I think if you're going to pick up a player of Howard's caliber, I'm honestly surprised with all this being done, unless he wanted to get out of California and not deal with the 11% state tax, that I'm surprised Houston ended up being the number one pick for him.
I think it makes sense. I like Parsons. I think he's a great three-point shooter. I think Beverly is going to be their point guard of the future right now. They're shopping Jeremy Lin and Omar Asik if this deal goes through. And it's just trying to figure out where it fits, where, you know, the rest of these pieces will fit in. And it's funny, too, because if you look around the rest of the NBA and some of the moves that are getting made, it's sort of shocking to see where some of these other names are going. And, you know, we have the list here. I was going through everything, teams that have been added, teams that are who they've lost, who they've added. You know, I'll start with the Atlanta Hawks. We'll just go from the beginning. The Hawks have four draft picks. Some of those came over in the Nets deal. And they also re-signed Kyle Korver through free agency, and they acquired Jared Cunningham from the Mavs. These are not blockbuster moves for the Hawks. But they picked up Raul Neto with the number 47th pick in the draft. Mike Muscala with the 44th pick in the draft. Dennis Schroeder with the 17th pick in the draft. And Lucas, I'm going to mess up this name, and I so apologize.
Lucas Noguera.
And Lucas Noguera with the 16th pick in the draft. They really haven't lost anybody yet. Josh Smith is out there on the block trying to figure out where they're going to go. I know Houston is trying to do a deal with the Atlanta Hawks. Well, there was talk of them trying to do a deal with the Atlanta Hawks for Omar Asik and Jeremy Lin going to Atlanta for the rights to Josh Smith in a sign and trade.
Well,
that would be interesting.
I don't get it. To be perfectly honest, Houston signed both Jeremy Lin and Omar Asik to poison pill deals, meaning that each contract is worth $15 million next year, not 2013-14, 2014-15. So Atlanta, a team that is in a massive rebuilding for all intents and purposes, I don't really like the Korver re-sign. I think you're not a team that's going to compete. Let's call it what it is. Al Horford's a nice player, but he's not a number one player on a championship team. Josh Smith isn't coming back. Jeff Teague is a restricted free agent who I assume will probably I'm surprised hasn't gotten more ink yet. I don't quite grasp what they're doing. The five draft picks are fine, and I don't know what they signed Korver for, but I'm assuming it's in the $6 to $7 million a year range, maybe a little bit less.
Yes, around that number. And here's their full list of unrestricted free agents. Again, this is some guys could be signed already. Devin Harris, who's who's unrestricted free agent, who I think can go out and help a team right now. Ivan Johnson, Dahani Jones, Zaza Pachulia, who I think can go out and help somebody, Yoan Petro, who's a serviceable backup, Josh Smith, and Anthony Tolbert. Harris and Smith are obviously the two big ones for them. From what I understand, Josh Smith has already packed up his stuff and you know, is trying to get is trying to get out of there at this point. So that's what's going on there. Let me ask you a question here about this next team on our list, the Boston Celtics. Do you think, obviously, the rebuilding aspect of it has been talked about in Boston now for a couple of years. Danny Ainge has wanted to break up this team now for a couple of seasons. It's now happening, but it seems like they're just going to drastic measures. And instead of it being, you know, moving Garnett and then moving Pierce, then moving Rondo, and then Doc Rivers leaving, it's sort of all happening at one time. Is Boston handling this the right way?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not saying they got a very good deal in the Boston-Brooklyn deal, because I don't think anyone thinks that. The three draft picks don't overwhelm me, because most likely at least 14 and 16 are not going to be lottery picks. 14, I mean, is a great draft, but most likely Brooklyn is going to be in the top three in the East. 16, they should still, with Lopez still being pretty young and Deron Williams still at a good age, they're not going to be a lottery team. By 18, who knows? I didn't particularly like that trade. I do like the pickup of Brad Stevens as their coach, and pickup's probably not the correct word. This is someone that they want to build with. They're going to he's going to work with Ainge to rebuild this team. And the reality is the team wasn't going anywhere. I'm you know, one of the people who thought Boston had one more run in them this year. And who knows? If Rondo had been healthy, who the heck knows? But they have to trade Rondo. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I was about to say, you know, Jose got on my case and told me that I was 1 year too late to the Boston party. Because you remember last year I was sitting there screaming up and down saying this was going to be Boston, and Boston was going to be the number one seed, and it was anything but. You know, but at the end of the day, you can't make those types of predictions. I mean, look at what they've already done. They waived Terrence Williams, which was no surprise. They signed him out of necessity last year. They traded Jason Terry, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett to the Nets for Keith Bogans, Marshawn Brooks, Chris Humphries, Chris Joseph, and Gerald.
They got 30 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, pretty
for
much.
Intents and purposes.
They got 30 cents on the dollar, and part of that too is the three draft picks as well for the future. Listen, I think Boston was in a no-win situation. I think they had to do something. I feel bad. They're keeping Rondo around for the show tickets. But at the same time, I think right now, if Rondo pushes right now, I think Danny Ainge is going to have a very short lease for him and will boot him out of there.
I think it's ridiculous. After last year, 2012-13, or 2011-12, where Boston very well could have beaten Miami and went to the seventh, a very tight seven-game semifinal. I forget if it was the semifinal or the final. Why you would break that team up? Yeah. Why you would break that team up at that point? That team had earned the right, having won one championship, lost in a seven-game championship where Kendrick Perkins gets hurt to the Lakers. And then losing in an extraordinarily tight seven-game series to Miami, why you wouldn't give that team the chance, one more chance to make a run. So I disagree with that completely. If you have a chance to win a title, and let's look at it, if Boston is healthy, who the heck knows? Jeff Green was better than anticipated coming back from the surgery. Yes, they're a little bit older. I would not have broken up that team. And I'm someone who believes in breaking up a team that doesn't have a title, at least in the realm. So I have no issue with Danny Ainge not breaking it up. Yes, you're getting a little bit less on it now, but that's just the way it is. Doc Rivers going to the Clippers obviously also initiated this. I think we actually have a caller on hold.
I believe we do. Hold on, I'm trying to just pull up the...
I just put him on. Hello?
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, it is. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Jose. How are you, my friend?
Not bad. I've actually just called you because I wanted to see if your head had exploded after the breaking news that ESPN just reported.
Well, catch us up because we've been on the air.
Oh, well, apparently now Dwight Howard has had a change of heart and is now 50-50 on going to the Lakers or the Rockets.
like I stated before, it was not official yet. So.
Yes, well, like I said before, as I've been telling you, no one in their right mind leaves $30 million on the table. And until that happens, I will never believe a player will do it. I just wanted to see if you were having a coordinator yet, because I know how much you love the Dwight Howard coverage.
No, I wanted to end. I, like Alex Kennedy of NBA.com, both feel the same way. We both wanted to end.
Well, it's not going to end, at least for another day. They're reporting right now, and you take this with a grain of salt. It's 50-50. I believe Chris Bouchard is reporting this right now. And it's come down to the Lakers and the Rockets, apparently.
I'm a huge fan of making things, final. If you're going to go to Houston, because remember, you can just as easily say, like Chris Paul said, when we're allowed to sign our contracts, I'm staying with the Clippers. Dwight Howard came out here and say, I'm going to sign with the Lakers, but until his name is on the dotted line, I expect him to change his mind at least 9 more times at this point.
Well, as I've always said, when it comes to basketball players, talk is cheap. It's always about the money. And, we've had this discussion many a time before, but, again, I hate to keep repeating this, but it's just the truthism, or Joseism, as we like to call them. The next time a player leaves $30 million on the table will be the first time a player leaves $30 million on the table. And when the Lakers pretty much let it be known that there was going to be no sign and trade on their end unless Golden State was involved, I think that kind of put his feet to the fire.
Okay. First of all, I don't believe this is leaving $30 million on the table. Because at the end of the day, no, let me finish. At the end of the day, number one, California has an 11% state income tax. Houston has none. Texas has none. So it's not $30 million. Number two, pretty much it's a difference between a 5-year deal and a 4-year deal. He's going to get a year. It's not like this is his last contract. It's just expediting the money. He's going to sign a contract wherever it is. A 4-year, $80 million.
We're comparing Los Angeles to Houston, okay? And honestly, to me, there's more money and more opportunity in Los Angeles than there is in Houston. I mean, kind of like, let's be honest. I mean, if you had to give me a choice, I take Los Angeles all the time. And Randy will tell you, I hate California, but I take Los Angeles over Houston any day of the week.
I agree. But it's not leaving $30 million on the table.
That's more of a bunker. Right? He's going to get that money in endorsements and everything else. So let's not kid ourselves with that. That's chump change for them. He's still leaving a lot of money on the table. He's leaving any amount of money you leave on a contract, you're still leaving. So whether it's $30 million or $10 million, you want to get the semantics, he's still leaving money on the table. So I'll reiterate that notion, but I'll fix it for your benefit. And so a player leaves any money on the table, I will never believe that they leave money on the table. Simple as that.
Okay. I disagree. I believe in semantics. And as
well,
I said, whatever contract he signs after the 4-year deal, and no one is under the impression he's retiring in 4 years. So there is going to be a contract out there where he will make in that fifth year, will be the fifth year in that contract. He's still going to make 10 to 12 million, may not be max, but he's still going to make enough money where in regards to that and in the state income tax that you're withholding for 4 years, 11% over 4 years, not insignificant. The money is not that different. It is substantial. It's not that substantial. Whether
again,
he wants to stay in LA, that's fine. I'm sick of talking about him on my show. I'm sick of him. I couldn't give a rat's ass where he ends up.
that's funny, though, because we all say this, and yet we talk about it. And Randy will tell you, too, I hate talking about moves until they actually get done. I don't like talking about off-season stuff until it's actually done. But, again, you know, every publication out there, every sport news outlet, this is what gets tracked. And we have to talk about it because whether people hate it or not, they want to know what's going on.
Maybe one of you guys can tell me this. Who has been the ESPN LA reporter? I can't remember her name to save my life right now.
Is it J.A. Adonde or Israel Gutierrez? One of those two?
It was the female reporter. Her name is not important right now, but she's doing a report the other day, and she brought up the fact, or this morning today, that when the Lakers made their pitch, that Dwight looked very motionless, and he got upset when Kobe and Nash were sitting in the room with him, and the comment was made, Dwight goes, I was playing hurt. I was waiting for you guys to stand up for me. And Kobe and Nash goes, we play hurt all the time. You're not really proving anything to us. Listen, I think Dwight Howard's a very immature athlete. I think we all admit this. And for the fact that he keeps waffling and changing his mind, I think this is going to go on until July 10th. I don't rule out the Golden State Warriors still, even though they called the Warriors and said that he's not going to be coming there. We're at that point right now. I think this is going to be an ongoing thing for another week or so.
You know what? No, I don't think it's actually going to be ongoing. I think this will probably get resolved by tonight. And I'll say this, I'm going to bounce. I just figured, again, I just wanted to see if you were having a coronary over this. In all seriousness, I would love to have Dwight Howard on my team. I would tell you otherwise, but I would tell anyone who is getting this guy in the team, he's a bio-rare player. Because I'm not so sure you're getting a great athlete, you're getting a very good basketball player, I'm not so sure that you're getting a mentally tough player. And I really don't know if getting Dwight Howard on any team guarantees you a title. At this point,
well, obviously not. He's never won one.
But as of right now, if I was a team, I would not just stop at Dwight Howard if I was building a team. Because I'm not so sure Dwight Howard is going to be the guy that's going to help you win a title. But anyway, guys, I got a bounce. Just wanted to call in quick, but have a nice weekend. And, Randy, I'll see you next week.
You got it, brother.
All right.
That was the angry one, Jose Padilla, joining us real quick here for Real Sports Talk Radio. No, it's something that he said, too. He's like, I know he always says there's never been an athlete who sort of leaves that type of money on the table. There's been a lot of money. Got a lot of guys who leave that type of money on the table. So I don't totally agree with that. I just wanted to throw something out at you here, too. Did you know with Brooklyn that Jason Kidd's getting two paychecks this upcoming season?
I did not. He's still getting paid by the Knicks?
Yes, he's getting paid by the Knicks.
Good for him.
I'm jealous. I want two paychecks.
I want one paycheck. I was going to say, the fun of running your own businesses. But, I talked about Kidd ad nauseum on my show. I think this is Kidd is not exactly the epitome of maturity, a guy who forced out three coaches and pretty much wore out his welcome in every place he was arrested last year in the Hamptons for driving. I don't remember if he was drunk or just driving into a fire hydrant. And he's going to be the coach of it. He's going to be the coach of a contending team. You know, I don't quite see it, but I compare them. It's similar. They're a more talented version of the Jets. They want headlines. They want the back page of the New York Post. This did it. I mean, they're a better team than the Knicks. The Knicks losing Chris Copeland today to Indiana. A very weird move because Indiana already has Paul George and Danny Granger. And the Nets are a better team. And the Nets are a very good team. And in that upper echelon of the East, a half step behind Miami potentially and with Indiana and Chicago. But I'm curious to see how Kidd's going to take place. In regards to Dwight Howard being a franchise, player? Nobody thinks Dwight Howard is a franchise player at this point. Dwight Howard, Jose made the comment, he's not going to win you a title. Well, he's been playing for 10 years and he hasn't won a title. Why would I think he would win a title now?
He was close with Orlando. I don't want to say he was close with Orlando because they lost the series 4-1. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not obviously not sold. I'm not sold on Howard. I haven't been sold. I can't see how you have one of the best offensive centers in the NBA's history in Patrick Ewing as your big man coach for 4 years, and you still can't shoot a jump shot.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't get it. And I'm sometimes a tough nut to crack at times, but that's ridiculous.
Well, but it's worse than that. I believe Akeem Olajuwon coached him a little bit, had some one-on-one training with him. We were talking about this off air a few days ago in regards to Shaq, how Shaq, while goes down as probably one of the 20 greatest players of all time, never really developed an offensive game, but he was so monstrous and so far beyond everyone in an athletic capacity, it almost didn't matter. How can this guy really have the gall to kind of put this up in this bidding game for all intents and purposes, where you can barely leave him in the game in the last 5 minutes because he can't hit a free throw. He can't pass. He has no real offensive moves. He's a great athlete. He's a good defender. He's a very good defender and a good blocker, a good shot blocker, and a good rebounder. But, I mean, there's nothing about him at this point in his career that makes me think he is going to, him as the best player is going to win you a title or even get you to a conference final. I don't see it.
I totally agree with you. Real quick before, I know we're getting bounce back and forth between the Dwight Howard news. It's all over ESPN News right now. I have it on in the background here. Let's move over to the Brooklyn Nets real quick. We talked briefly about the big trade from Boston to with Boston, and they drafted okay. They lost C.J. Watson to the Pacers, which I think is a big loss because he played very well as a backup. You were able to put him on the floor with Darren Williams at times last year, and because he could score points. You're losing him, so now the Nets are in the need for a backup point guard but can't spend that much. If they were able to spend a guy like Jeff Teague, it would be perfect because I don't know if Jeff Teague is going to get starter type of money or there's a team out there right now that's going to pay that type of money for Teague. So, originally, I know right now some of the names being tossed around are Jamal Tinsley. Just finding out what the market is right now for a backup point guard in the Nets situation is very difficult. They re-signed Andre Blatch. I know they wanted Korver for a little while. They're shopping around. Seth, what do you think the Nets need to do at this point?
Well, it's very simple. The Nets really, the only thing the Nets really need is a backup point guard at this point. Their team is set with Evans, Plumlee, Lopez, and Garnett up front. You have Pierce at the three, Joe Johnson and Darren Williams at the 1-2. They have Televojčić backing up the three. They need a backup point guard. Jeff Teague is not even in the ballpark. Jeff Teague is a starting point guard in the NBA. Remember, he is one of the fastest guys in the NBA playing for Larry Drew, who plays one of the most conservative slowdown offenses in the NBA while he was in Atlanta. I think he will be a starter somewhere, and I think he'll be a good one. I think that's out of the Nets' range. You're looking at backup point guards. I don't really know who they have in mind. Tinsley never developed into the kind of player I anticipated he would be. I don't know where they're going to go with it. Jose Calderon, as you said, is not, most of the players that we've discussed aren't backups. They're starters. Teague is one. Yeah, do you try and get someone like a Darren Collison? Well, he probably still thinks he's a starter. Whether he is or not is a completely different situation. But, this team is a 55 win team right now. And they'll pick up, a point guard. I'm not really If I'm the Nets, you know, maybe Jay Kidd will become the first player coach since the Buscher. Who knows? But I think the Nets are in pretty good shape when it's all said and done.
Listen, my opinion of the Nets, as much as I don't like the trade, I do like the fact that they do have a real scoring punch off the bench between Blatch and Jason Terry. I think they'll find a good backup point guard somewhere out there. They just have to see where they're going to go. We're going to speed it up a little bit, try and get as much in from some teams as we can. The Charlotte Bobcats, this is a team that has been plagued with between injuries and bad coaching and bad, you know, basketball moves. They had Cody Zeller in the draft with the fourth pick, which has not been a popular decision. They amnestied Tyrus Thomas, who's really never really lived up to any type of real potential since he's been drafted. They dropped DeJounte Jock, renounced him. Byron Mullins renounced him. Gennaro Pargo renounced him. And Reggie Williams, and they renounced him. They re-signed Josh McRoberts, and they signed Al Jefferson, which I think is a great pickup for the Bobcats.
How bad do you have to be renounced by the Bobcats?
Yeah, but, you know, the fact that you got Al Jefferson, though, I think, you know, obviously the money was there for him, but he's an established player who can score. And, you know, they had another new coach. I think this is a turnaround. I think Michael Jordan is starting to let his basketball people do what they're supposed to do and him just sit in an owner's box. I think that's really the best way to have this whole thing handled right now.
You think signing a guy like Jefferson, who's probably can't play a lick of defense, is one of those guys who is going to be a 20-point scorer on a team that goes 20-60, and you think he's worth $14 million a year? I disagree. I understand they need to bring in something. They need to make a mark. That's not where I would have gone. Al Jefferson is a nice scorer. He's a good locker room guy. Good locker room guys are not worth $14 million a year.
Okay.
I don't like the move. I think it absolutely obliterates their cap room. And so to me, it makes no sense.
You know what? I respect your decision on that one. I your opinion on that one. Let's move on. I like the signing. Not for the price, but I do like the signing. Let's move on to the Chicago Bulls. I think this is like the darling team from the playoffs this past year. Listen, you waived Richard Hamilton, who gave you 16, 18 points those last two games when it was, you know, in tough losses. But I never thought Hamilton – I originally liked the move, but when they signed Hamilton, Vince Carter was available, and I thought they would have gotten a little bit more out of Vince than they would have with Richard Hamilton. They lost Marco Bellinelli to the Spurs, which is a very good pickup for the San Antonio Spurs. I like Bellinelli's game. And they've re-signed Nazi Muhammad, who didn't really give them a lot of minutes. Again, maybe he's a locker room guy. But they also brought in Mike Dunleavy Jr., who can play, who can score points. He's a good guy for Tom Thibodeau's system. My question for you, Seth, is do they try and bring back Nate Robinson?
I think if they could afford it, they would. Chicago's biggest problem, obviously, has been offense over the years. With Derrick Rose coming back, Richard Hamilton, I agree. I had the same opinion you did. I thought it was a good fit. It just didn't work. They need scoring. They need shooters. Dunleavy is a good shooter. That makes sense. Nate Robinson would be a good fit, but my assumption is he can get more money elsewhere, and that's what will happen. He's the kind of player, unfortunately. He's a great sixth man, but I think he sees himself as a starter.
Well,
I'm
sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I thought what was great about Nate Robinson this year is the type of player Derrick Rose is. It's the 1-4 offense where you give Derrick Rose the opportunity to create, and he's either going to score the ball or he's going to find guys open. Nate Robinson is a similar type of player, obviously not as talented as Derrick Rose, but, you know, in that situation, I think it's sick. And that's what made it sort of comfortable with Chicago having Nate on the floor. The problem was Nate was good in backup spots. He wasn't, you know, they started Kirk Heinrich, and then when Heinrich went out, you were forced to lose that punch off the bench with Robinson, and you know, you had Heinrich, you know, you lost that, and you didn't really have much of a point guard. Again, we all know the Bulls were ravaged by injuries in the playoffs, but, you know, still, a guy like Nate filled the purpose because it was something similar to Derrick Rose.
True. I'm not sure where you want me to go with it. As I said, I don't think him staying in Chicago makes that much sense at this point. But I just think he wants to be a starter, and he's not a starter. He's a great sixth man, but he's not a starter.
Or for
a championship caliber team. And I'm not sure if Chicago is a championship caliber team or not. That's a discussion for another day. But he'll end up somewhere where he'll be the same thing. He'll be a top level sixth man, or he'll be an up and down starter. And I think he's better off as a sixth man.
Now, moving on here, the Cleveland Cavaliers, we know what they did in the draft. They signed free agency Earl Clark from the Lakers. The Cavs are just playing out until next season to see if they can get LeBron James back. I actually like their chances of getting LeBron back. So we'll see how that plays out. The Mavericks are... You know, the Mavericks had that streak of making the playoffs for 12 straight years, Seth, and now, you know, this might be the second straight year where they're not there.
I agree. I don't think there's much discussion over it.
Yeah.
They're a team that doesn't really have much of anything at this point. Dirk is, you know, is a Hall of Famer, but he's on his last, I don't want to say his last legs, but he's certainly past the prime of his career. They brought in all these older players to try and clear up salary cap to make a run at Howard, who, you know, Dallas was the first team he kind of removed from the equation. They're a team kind of that's kind of just in the middle of nowhere right now.
Yeah, no, that's 100%. It's 100% true. And now I think we're going to start putting the Denver Nuggets into that same conversation. They lost Andre Iguodala today. They're not going to have Danilo Gallinari back for the beginning of the season. They let go of George Karl. They're bringing in Brian Shaw. Denver's going to be going through a little bit of a rebuilding situation. I'm trying to figure out what's more amazing, the Iguodala situation or the fact that George Karl hasn't gotten another job yet.
Well, I'm not as negative on Denver as you are, because as good as Iguodala was, it was always this kind of a strange fit for a real offensive team to have that kind of defensive player. They still have Lawson. They still have Andre Miller. They still have Wilson Chandler will be back. Gallinari will be back by the end of the year. Fareed, I don't think this is a team. This is a team that may take a step or two back, but I don't find them falling as far back as you do. I think George Karl needs a year just kind of away from everybody, just kind of a year out. I was surprised he didn't even look like he was. I didn't hear too much about him even being interviewed, to be perfectly honest. So I'm not shocked he doesn't have a job. And also at some point he's in his 60s. You know, they seem to be going more for the new blood, the Brian Shaw, who should have gotten a job years ago. Obviously Jason Kidd. So I'm not surprised. I do think he'll be back, whether it's a year or 2 years from now, I'm not sure. But I think it'll be back pretty soon.
Obviously, we were talking about earlier today, the Golden State Warriors made some big moves, signing Andre Iguodala, trading away Richard Jefferson to Utah, and as well as the Warriors were able to shed some cap space as well. I think we can put Golden State Warriors in the top five teams in the NBA offseason as far as winning. They really did some great moves, and Mark Jackson is a hell of a coach. I think the Warriors are here to stay at this point.
I'm genuinely surprised that after this Iguodala deal, that Howard isn't really considering Golden State. To me, it's actually a pretty good fit. Obviously, considering his athleticism, playing with a run-and-gun team may work well. He won't have to be the star because they have Curry and Iguodala, so they have the three stars that he would be looking for. They're very good. And I don't, to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure that Golden State is better off not having him if Bogut, if Andrew Bogut can stay healthy. I mean, I realize that's a huge yes. You look at that team, you have Curry, Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes, especially Thompson are future stars. Draymond Green is really solid, which is why you can give up Barnes if necessary. David Lee is perpetually underrated. Bogut is tough. Unfortunately, they're going to lose Carl Landry, but they're a team that is built that is really on the way up, and this was shown and reflected in the playoffs.
Well, we do have a caller on right now. Let's see. Let's hear the voice of the people. Thanks for calling Real Sports Talk Radio. You're on here with Randy and Seth. Who's this?
Hey, how you doing? This is Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
And Long Island. Good. let me tell you, this is my first time, honestly, listening to you guys. And I think I jumped in at the right time because you guys are talking about basketball, which is right up my alley. But I have to say, out of any teams that have made the moves that we've seen over the past couple of weeks, hands down, Brooklyn Nets have definitely won the off-season moves. I really like what they did as far as bringing in Garnett and Pierce because of what they're giving up. Humphries was sitting down half the season. You know, you got Wallace. I'm kind of hurt about that one. Marshawn Brooks. We don't know what we're going to get out of him. And then, you know, we gave up Chris Joseph, a rookie. I feel like Prokhorov made a move to win now. And I think he made a good move. I'm not too sure how it's going to pan out 2-3 years from now. But I think if the Nets have a shot to win, the best shot is going to come next year. I mean, if not, I don't know how much we're going to have out of Pierce or KG. I do think there is gas in the tank out of those guys based on what they did against the Knicks. So I'm very excited. My only concern is the amount of minutes that Jason Kidd plays them. As far as the West goes, I was listening to your talk about, Battistelli or Bettinelli going from Chicago to San Antonio Spurs?
Marco Bellinelli, sure.
Bellinelli, thank you. I've gotten a chance to see him play, obviously, a lot more since the Nets were playing him for 7 games. This season, and I was definitely impressed by it. I think it would definitely be, I don't know if he would get a started role, but I saw the way Ginobili played, and, you know, they needed to sign a guy like Marco. I think the Spurs are going to be back in the West, and your top two teams in the East are going to be Miami-Brooklyn. I'd have to put Pacers around 3, Chicago around 4, and the Knicks 5, and I think based on your talk about the Boston Celtics, I think they sneak in the playoffs next year if they keep Rondo.
I think it's an interesting call. I agree.
You're sneaking in the 8th seed.
I think after the top 5 in the East, it is so weak. Off the top of my head, I think they trade Rondo. I think you have Detroit, Washington, and Cleveland probably making the playoffs. And, I mean, that kind of says it all right there. I agree with you. I think the Nets have a 2-year window to win a title with this team. I think that with the backups that Garnett has with Evans and Plumlee, since Evans was not part of the trade, and I agree, I think it was a great trade. Getting rid of Wallace's contract, which was an albatross, it was necessary for this trade. Wallace was not a great player for, was not the player in New Jersey or in Brooklyn that he was in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got a 2-year window.
It better be a 2-year window because Marco Prokhorov said, hey, listen, you know, if they don't win in, he said 3 years ago, if they don't win in 5 years, he gets married, and this guy ain't ready to settle down. So he made a serious move to win now. And I think, you know, I really like that he's making the moves. He's diligently working. He knows he's got 2 years left to back up his, statements. So I really liked what they did. Outside of that, backup point guard. I say give Tyson Taylor a chance. See what he does over the summer and in the preseason. Maybe try to make one more splash, try to get Nate Robinson. I can't think of too many backup point guards right now off the top of my head. My question is to you guys, if Korver was signed somewhere. And my last thing I wanted to bring up was I love the Golden State move. They're going to be back. I can see them probably winning that Western Division or very tightly close to the Clippers.
I agree. No real argument from me. Randy?
With as far, I'll go backwards. As far as the Warriors are concerned, it's going to be the Warriors and the Clippers and the Thunder. Those are, you can't count out the Spurs yet, but
he's talking about the division. He wasn't talking about the conference.
He wasn't talking about the conference. That division, it's going to be up in the air. I think it's between them and the Clippers. The Lakers are not going to be much of a conversation. Whether Dwight's there or not, it's not much of a conversation. Nate Robinson to the Nets. I always like to go upon the when you have when you're bringing in substitutes, you want to put in guys who are able to bring the same type of game for the guy they're taking out. So, obviously when the Nets had Jason Kidd, you weren't going to have the same caliber player you had in Jason Kidd, but you have the same. You want to have a guy who's able to run the same type of offense and be able to bring the same type of mentality to the game. I think what Deron Williams brings to the table is not what Nate Robinson would bring to the table. Nate Robinson can bring a team a scoring punch. I think the Nets are going to be fine with scoring off the bench. They're just going to need someone to distribute the ball and run the offense. I don't think Nate is that guy. I don't think he would be a good fit for them. I think Nate would probably be successful as a backup point guard on a team. I would actually like to see him in Miami. I think that would be a nice little interesting fit for him. But I don't know if that would work at this point. I think he'd probably be a good fit for a team who needs some scoring off their bench. And I think that's right now. The Nets really don't need that. And what was the third point, Wayne? I'm sorry, I missed. You had three. You had the Warriors. You had Nate Robinson. What was the third point? Korver. Korver re-signed with the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay, so that's another out. That's an option. But you know what? I like that we got Jason Terry, and a lot of people have been talking about Pierce Garnett. Okay. We also got Jason Terry too. We know he brings scoring to the table still, so I'm very happy about that too. I'm equally as happy as seeing Terry in that trade as well as Pierce and Garnett. So I'm definitely very happy about that. And my number one pick for the West overall would have to be San Antonio Spurs and closely Oklahoma City Thunder. Those would be my top two in the West. I think Spurs got one more run. I was definitely disappointed about the Game 6 loss. If Ray Allen hits that shot, and I'm not a fan of Miami, but Ray Allen doesn't hit that shot, the Spurs had the championship, and we have a beautiful story, but unfortunately it didn't go that way. I do think they have one more run in them.
All right, well, Wayne, thanks for giving a quick call in. We appreciate your insight, your thoughts, and, of course, your fandom to the Nets. We'll definitely talk soon.
Thank you very much.
That was our good buddy Wayne, who likes to call in every once in a while. Just some more notable notes of moves. Eric Bledsoe got traded from the Clippers over to the Phoenix Suns with Caron Butler. What did you think of that move?
I thought it was strange, to be honest. Phoenix, number one, has very little talent to begin with. Well, one of the guys with some talent who signed to in the midst of a $40 million four-year contract is their point guard, Goran Dragic. So for them to end up with Bledsoe, who they signed promptly to a four-year $27 million deal, seemed a bit strange. Caron Butler is kind of the throw-in in the deal. He's a very nice player, but again, they don't really need veteran talent. They need to rebuild. I just want to see what they're going to do with Dragic, because he's not exactly the kind of player that you can throw in. With a $10 million contract, you can't really, he's not going to be that easy to get rid of. And I think this is a team that's just, they're a mess, to be perfectly honest. Drafting Len and Gortat wants to leave their center. Dragic is now kind of in no man's land. I don't really see a Dragic Bledsoe starting, you know, starting backcourt. So what exactly are you looking at here?
I think Phoenix is a mess. I think it's a mess.
Yeah, I think both Milwaukee, who got a couple draft picks for something, considering they're going to lose Redick anyway, did fine. And I think the Clippers did pretty well getting Redick, and I forget who the third player, Jared Dudley. Redick, a good shooter, and they need a two guard. So it actually makes sense for two of the three teams. I don't really know what Phoenix was thinking.
Really quick here, we're against the clock. We got about 10 minutes left. I want to throw a couple different teams at you and some of the moves that they made. The Minnesota Timberwolves have done very, very well. They got Kevin Martin. They renounced Andre Kirilenko. They waived Brandon Roy. They were very busy in the draft. I wanted to get your take on the Minnesota Timberwolves.
They're a bottom-tier playoff team, I believe. It really does depend on, to me, on their first-round pick, Shabazz Muhammad, which doesn't exactly give me a great deal of faith. I personally would have rather kept it Kirilenko, but that's neither here nor there. Kevin Martin's a nice two-guard, but he's starting to get up in age. His shooting is getting in the free throw line, which is what he was best at, has decreased over the last couple of years. He's not a very good defensive player either. So what you're looking at is you have a potential stud point guard in Ricky Rubio. You have a stud in Kevin Love. A solid – I'm assuming they're going to keep the center of Petrovic, or I'm not sure how to pronounce the name. If they stay healthy, they can be a playoff team. And I think that's more than anything. I think that's the most important thing Minnesota can do is become somewhat competitive to have a chance to keep Kevin Love going forward, because he is the backbone of the franchise.
I agree with that. I think what it comes down to, a lot of people thought we have the opportunity to make a playoff run this year. They're just going to stay healthy. And I really feel for Brandon Roy, because he really would try hard to come back. Moving forward here, the one team that I think has been busy, and I'm not understanding all the moves that they're making. I understand some of them, but not all of them, are the New Orleans Pelicans, formerly the Hornets. I'm not used to calling them the Pelicans. You have Rivers, the Doc Rivers' son, on your squad, playing the point, playing the guard position. You go out and you make a draft day trade, and you pick up Drew Holiday, which I think is a steal, because I love Drew Holiday as point guard. He made the All-Star team last year. Solid player. And you also acquired Tariq Evans, who, former rookie of the year, sort of got lost out in Sacramento. Wanted to get your take on New Orleans. I'm not getting all the moves. They're getting point guard heavy. They traded Robin Lopez. They made a couple different deals. Wanted to get your view on the New Orleans Pelicans.
It's interesting. Yes, Drew Holiday has, number one, has a cap friendly contract of 4-year, $40 million, and he was an All-Star last year. But let's kind of put things in perspective in regards to the All-Star. Deron Williams was awful in the first half of the year, and Rajon Rondo was hurt. So suddenly, a strong point guard class was not particularly. Most of the good point guards, Westbrook, Parker, Chris Paul, are in the West. Not trying to be disrespectful to Holiday, who had a very nice year for a pretty broken Philadelphia team. They're in an interesting situation. I think the trade for Noel, trading Nerlens Noel and the first-round pick for Holiday is a pretty risky endeavor. Obviously, I believe the pick is protected 1-5, which they need because 2014 is a very, very heavy draft with Andrew Wiggins and Jabari Parker coming out. If they were in the East, I would feel a little bit better about it, because they have an interesting – they're an interesting team, to be honest. You have Eric Gordon, who is now apparently finally excited to play in New Orleans. Tariq Evans – the problem is I don't know what you do with Tariq. Is he a three? Is he going to play a point forward? Well, I don't really trust him to be a point forward, because I don't think he passes the ball particularly well. Is he going to be your backup? You're going to pay $11 million to be the sixth man? I don't know. There is some potential there. I mean, they do have Ryan Anderson. Obviously, they have Anthony Davis if he can stay healthy. I think if they were in the East, they would potentially threaten for a playoff spot. I think in the West they're kind of still stuck in Norland for at least another year.
That's fair. Listen, I like some of the moves that they made. I just don't understand. Like I said, I don't understand why you're acquiring both guys. And speaking of really confused, that brings me to the New York Knicks. You and I have different conversations during the week about the Knicks, and I give you my opinion. This team will not have any success, or let me rephrase it, they'll have a limited success. They'll make the playoffs. They're not going to win 50 games again this year, as long as Carmelo Anthony keeps playing the way he's playing. There was a couple games this year in the beginning of the season. They had a hot start, but they just, in my eyes, don't play it as a well-oiled team. A good leader and a great player raises the level of your teammates. And Carmelo Anthony, in my eyes, just doesn't do it. And I've compared him to, you and I have had this conversation, I compare him to being Dominique Wilkins of our generation who can play defense. I'm looking forward to hearing your take on this. The Knicks really haven't done anything earth-shattering. They traded for Andrea Barangami from the Raptors. This was not a great move in my eyes. They re-signed J.R. Smith. Your opinion on Carmelo Anthony and the New York Knicks?
You compared him to Dominique. I compared him to Bernard King. Same difference. With more defensive talent, he just only seems to really use it in certain situations when he's surrounded by talent comparable to himself, like when he's with the Olympic team. The team's going nowhere. The team is a 5 seed. And that's not terrible, but it's not great. They re-signed J.R. Smith, and I for $6.5 million a year, which surprised me a bit. Felton had a nice year last year, but they're not athletic. They're not young. They lost their best young talent in Chris Copeland. And I don't see them as particularly relevant in regards. They're relevant because they're New York. They're not particular. Barangami, I don't love the trade. I don't hate the trade. And people seem to have more extreme feelings on it than I do. But there's nothing about, at the end of the day, this is a team that's just a year older. And I wouldn't be surprised. I can't see them being higher than Chicago. Chicago, Indiana, Miami, or Brooklyn. And if a team like a Detroit or a Cleveland or probably even more specifically a Washington can make a run, I can see them falling back a bit. I think they're in big trouble for the next 2 years.
By the way, I wanted to just throw these tweets out here about the Dwight Howard situation. Alex Kennedy of NBA.com, the meeting between Dwight Howard and the Los Angeles Lakers has not started yet. According to a source, it'll get underway soon. Mark Stein from ESPN, watching the car crash unfold must feel like another championship to LeBron James. We might not even talk about the decision after this, which is very true. And then Alex Kennedy from NBA.com also posted, keep in mind, Dwight Howard isn't actually losing $30 million by leaving L.A. It's less for taxes, et cetera. The simple fact of the matter is that, Dwight Howard has not officially made the comment that he was staying with Houston. This was reported that this is what he wanted. He's 50-50 right now with the Los Angeles Lakers and the Houston Rockets. As we wind up here, Seth, your opinion, where does he end up?
I really don't know. But this is actually a tweet from Darren Revelle, the ESPN sports business analyst. Chris Broussard reporting Howard's potential change of heart is over $30 million guaranteed, but $9.3 million if he was a Texas versus California resident. And that's not including the fifth year, which he would have signed for actually more than $9.3 million. I think the right move, to be at this point, is Golden State, but I don't think that happens. I think the right move is Houston. I think he ends up in the lake with the Lakers.
Okay, and real quick, one last NBA note here. It is reporting that Paul Millsap is in serious talks with the Atlanta Hawks. That might get done as early as tonight. Seth, I wasn't planning on being on tonight. We threw this show together very last minute. I do appreciate you coming on. Just We just did a full NBA show, which I appreciate. And hopefully you'll be good enough to join us again sometime soon.
Always a pleasure, Andy. Check out Seth and Sean Tuesday nights at 7 on Blog Talk Radio.
Until then, see you next week, kids.